This is a recording of the August 7th, 2019 Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chugach Boardroom.
Barely. And welcome, everybody. Let's do roll call on the committee. I have with me Director Hollis, Director Reeves, Director Henderson online, Director Chastain, and also Director Crawford is here. And I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
I guess we could ask for discussion. I don't see any persons to be heard. You have the minutes from the July 17th meeting. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I will approve the minutes from the July 17th meeting as written.
Second.
Motion two.
Motion two and a second. Any discussion on the minutes?
Second.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm sorry.
See you too.
Moved, seconded, no discussion. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, I don't see any members to be heard. So we can go right into, we have the CEO report, the operating budget status report, the capital tracking report, contract status report, financial statements and variance. Any questions on those reports? Susan.
I just wondered why on page six where it presents, I think that's just a mistake. It has the topics. And it, since this is part of our record, I think it should be fixed. It shows the 2019 amended budget, budget revision, and then the amended budget. So I think those two columns are, one of them is incorrectly numbered and labeled, headed.
We're on page six of the packet?
Page six. 6 and 112.
I'm going to leave you guys and go to the packet, okay?
Okay. All right, so that's the second page and page six of the board packet.
Great.
Can you repeat?
Well, the headings across. See, they're 2019 amended budget, 2019 budget revision, 2019 amended budget. I think the first column is supposed to be 2019 approved budget.
So if you look at the next, very next page.
Yeah.
When we did the first quarter, we started with the approved budget. We've already amended the approved budget in the first quarter.
Okay, so the first and the third columns on page six are identical.
Correct.
Because gotcha.
But what you're saying is exactly the columns that were the first quarter budget revision.
Okay.
But then as we move on, the budget has already been amended, so we're starting out with the amended and we're mending it again. So it's
not incorrect. It's just a silly column, a silly thing with the same column twice. All right.
Well,
thank you. I got
once we amend the budget, we forever call it the amended budget.
Right. And we amended it in first quarter, correct? Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you,
that
Susan.
Answers my question.
It is a little confusing. Any other questions?
The further amended budget.
It does seem like there could be nomenclature to help us.
Sure, absolutely. We'll take a look at that.
But I don't know what that is.
I had one question.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm not going to find the right pages, but here's what it was. It was, what was the rate and the interest cost on the $75 million commercial paper, and I may be ahead of you, but that was one of the changes that you got rid of the commercial paper and turned it in long term. And I think I might be a couple pages ahead of you. Is that correct, Sherry?
Yeah. So the May 15th long term debt issuance of $75 million, we rolled that. It was commercial paper. I believe commercial paper at the time was trading at 270, and then we issued that $75 million at 3.86.
OK. Okay, and that's why that's a negative number, a cost number in the interest.
That's correct.
I saw the negative issue or the increase in cost as a function of interest, and so I assumed that that was it, and but I couldn't find it where it said what you said, but I do recall that the short-term commercial paper was astonishingly inexpensive, and the longer term was just a little more expensive. But no,
right. Right, and then that is being recovered in rates beginning the August 1. That $75 million at the 386 was included in the simplified rate filing for rates effective August 1. So that's being adjusted in revenue.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you. That's all.
Any other questions? Do we want to go on to new business? Do we want to hear? Yeah.
Madam Chair, just maybe one other item in CEO correspondence is we just have an issue with probably my attendance and what we'll be able to do in the next month with the Ops Committee coming up on the 19th and then the board meeting on the 28th or 24th. And I may not be able to make either one of those meetings. Will be a hearing. If we get out of hearing, I can be here, but it'll be, it's just, it really depends on what happens at the hearings and what we have to do to prepare for the next day. The other issue is we will not be able to have staff make presentations on the 19th based on what we see workload is right now. What our concept is as this hearing progresses, and we're not only doing the hearing, but we're still responding to inquiries from the commission and interveners at the same time. So there's just a tremendous amount of work to get done. What we will have is we'll have scribes at the hearing that will describe what is going on during the week, and then we'll give written reports to the board at the end of the week. I will review those written reports to make sure they're accurate, and we'll give them to the board. And then if I can make the tail end of either the 19th or the 24th, I'll try to give a verbal update myself on what's going on.
14 and 19.
14
is the board meeting, 19 is
okay.
Operations.
Okay.
So this is audit and finance. What's the will? We have almost all the board here, but we don't have Director Parks, who's
he's in Canada.
Right? Whose schedule is always a factor. I mean, all of our schedules are a factor. Do we want to take this issue up and address it now in this meeting since we're all almost all here? Is that the will of the group?
I just need to ask a clarifying question. Are we talking about the August 14 and 19, or are we talking about September? August? Okay. And then second clarifying question, could we at least have the standard written reports for the board meeting on the 19th?
That's an ops meeting.
Whenever the board meeting is.
That's the 14th.
We get our standard written report so we can do our job.
Yeah, it's just going to be a bit different because I won't have, I'll be doing those as well as we'll have like Phil and so forth will be attending the meetings, kind of describing what's going on.
Let me do a procedural pause. Connie, can you come forward? Because I want to recognize we have a director on the phone and hearing is a problem. So I'm going to ask Connie to come forward so she can be, her comments can be mic'd. Just because I want Director Henderson to be able to hear.
What I just want to make the board aware of is generally I've got the, you know, I got Arthur and Mark preparing the weekly reports and Sherry doing the weekly reports, and they're going to be tied up in these hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily have them available to do the weekly reports that we're doing today. What we've talked about is a replacement for those weekly reports is giving a synopsis of where we're at on the hearing. We have actually kind of transcribe what's taking place at the hearing, and I will add what I can to that and make that the written report. And then if I'm not tied up and during either the ops meeting or the board meeting, I will give a verbal update But we won't be able to have staff available to do PowerPoint and those types of updates as we go forward.
Dr. Chastain.
I think we should talk about it, and I didn't know really what you were getting at. You know, I think that we had all talked about we wanted to separate out the board and the ops meetings, especially during the hearings, so that we could be kept up to date. So if there is a way to keep us up to date, maybe that suffices for the August meeting. Let me ask you though, if we keep, do we stand a better chance of getting you on one of those nights if we keep both of those nights as meeting nights?
It's just,
you don't know?
It's just super, we just don't know at this point because we're kind of at the call of the commission and then just depending on how the hearing goes. I mean, there could not be, the hearing may not be on the 19th, and at that case, we'll be here, but I just want the board to be aware that this is going to be a little bit dynamic because of the hearing schedules and everything else that's going on.
Can I just offer an observation that I would value, I personally would value just having the board get together to talk about the written reports. We don't need a slideshow. But we do need to follow this really closely. And we could just get together and talk about what we observed, and then we could submit written questions through the chair to Lee if there's something we don't understand. We understand we're not trying to increase your burden,
mm-hmm.
but your burden is going to be eased if when you ultimately come to us with a question, at least we know what's going on. Well, we'll make it up if we don't. But I think that would be of value to me.
So the first weekly report would be the 16th. And that could come at midnight on the 16th or 9 a.m. on Saturday. Because if they're in hearing till 5 o'clock, I still have to allow time for staff to prepare that. We need to review it before I get it to you guys. So I don't want you to expect that at 5 o'clock on a Friday you're going to be able to...
Fair enough.
Okay.
So from this whole conversation, I take that the board meeting on the 14th is going to be different, and we're going to allow for that because of the hearings and what we're up against, and we are still keeping the operations committee meeting as well, recognizing that it may also be different, and we're expecting stuff to come sometime after the 16th. Is that where we are?
And it'll be one thing.
One probably. Big lump of something.
Mm-hmm. If okay. That's the board's pleasure.
I guess the question I would ask is on the 14th, if we don't have an update from Lee and his team, what are we going to do on the 14th?
Cancel.
What's on that agenda?
Well, we do have the IMO stuff is on there, but Mark... It's the BRU hearing next week, and Mark's going to be tied up in that, so I'm not sure if he's got somebody that plans on handling that for him, Lee, or I know for sure Arthur's going to have nothing. We're not going to get anything from Arthur, but we do have an IMO action item on the agenda. It's an increase to the contract and then a brief presentation that I think you reviewed today.
Yeah, because it will probably have to be we'll have just the presentation available. I won't have anybody
to present.
Because Mark will be in hearing now. I mean, if it gets over early, I mean, there's always a possibility, but I just want the board to be aware that we're in a bit of a flux and right. The hearing really takes precedence. So we'll get as much information we can, but a lot of it might be in writing or verbal rather
Fridays.
Than at the meeting. So
if we don't have it until Friday, I'll raise Director Hollis's question and say, should the board meeting be on the 19th and there be no ops committee?
That was what I was going to suggest.
Oh, I should have just waited.
No, that's fine.
I mean, it seems like we're not going to get anything on the 14th. There's value to getting together with written reports. I hear Director Reeves say that, and I agree. But if we don't have written reports before the 14th, then we're just getting together. So does it make...
So combine the two meetings with the possibility of hearings being over by the 19th.
Or if not, we'll still have information to discuss as the board.
Because the Operations Committee meeting had two items on it. It was an update on the IMO, and it was the regulatory. That was all that was there. But those same items are also on the board meeting on the 14th. So you could get rid of the meeting on the 14th, move all of those agenda, call it a regular board meeting, do it on the Monday. You'll have your written report from the BRU hearings that week sometime on Friday or Saturday. You can discuss them as a group, and we still run the chances of not having Mark, Arthur, Matt, and Lee at that meeting on the 19th. And know that probably all the way through September, those reports will come on Friday. I mean, September could be a problem as well because we'll be in the acquisition hearings and we might won't have Lee then either. It's just kind of the times that we're in right now.
We do have a speaker, Solarize Anchorage.
Correct.
That's scheduled for the board meeting.
And he has confirmed that.
If you could get that speaker to do the 19th as well, that might help.
Is that the pleasure of the board?
Do we need any procedure here? Do we need a motion, or we just wrap that up in the approval of the consent calendar at the board meeting?
Sounds good to me.
Chair can just pretty much make that.
Okay.
I think if we're not going to have anything, we probably don't need to have a meeting anyway. We'll combine them both on that Monday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Lee, anything else under CEO
reports? No, that's it, sorry.
That's all right. Do we want to move on with new business?
Actually, excuse me, Director I do Collins. Have a question. This would be for you, Sherry. And we're talking about the financial statements, the variance report. Mm-hmm. On the variance report, I believe it's page 26, if you're looking at that. I'm curious about some of the explanation under the admin, general, and other variances. Mm-hmm. And one item that is in there is mentioned is the unfavorable variance is primarily due to higher than anticipated labor and project write-offs. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so project write-offs specifically.
Yes.
There's a couple, the green pricing program and the community solar were two projects that we wrote off that we had accumulated cost. And then I think there's another project in Brian's area with the substation, Latouche substation.
Latouche was damaged during the earthquake. And we're gonna have a project to, we had done work, it was under modification, but what's gonna be required is that stuff's gonna have to be taken out. So we wrote off what we had spent on that project, and we're going to have to
those three were the primary project write-offs. Yes.
Okay. So those are written off under admin as opposed to a project code. Is that correct, or how does that work?
So write-offs, this category is not just, it's called administrative, general, and other, and the other is other deductions, and that's where projects are written off. It still has a project code, it's just it was on a balance sheet, right, as a CWIP, and then now it's written off as other deductions.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good question. Any other questions? All right, let's move on to the financial information report.
Good evening. Thank you. All right, so mid-year update on our financials through June 30th. Megawatt hour sales, and we'll look at the financial statement of ops, balance sheet, and statement of cash flows as well. On megawatt hour sales, I know we've been showing you this graph and it looks awfully redundant. It's been the same graph. So our downturn here in sales has been about a 1.6% average year over year on average anyways over the last, from 15 to 19. The good part is we are slightly above budget here. When you look at 19 compared to budget, we're about 1% above budget there. On the retail, or on the Seward side, it's the same scenario. It's about a 1.6% reduction on average in sales we've been seeing. I know Arthur's group is looking at this right now, and I think they're going to come back to you this fall on where we hit this bottom and we start going up, but it could be 4 or 5 years out. But I think there's a bunch of information there that you're going to see later this fall on that, where sales will be going in the future. In terms of the comparative statement of ops, the income statement here, you can see, well, first let me just say page 5 on your 10Q, and the actual here, left-hand column, 668,000, we finished the quarter. A little less than where we wanted to be. We wanted to be on budget $1,024,000. We weren't quite there, but it's a variance of 355,000, not significant. I will say that those variances, we just talked about a few of them, but they're largely, there's two positive variances up here that are in power production. You can see line 3, we were basically under budget, 565,000, and also in distribution, 285,000 under budget, but we happen to be over budget in some of the areas we just talked about, A&G, depreciation, amortization, and interest expenses we talked about as well, the 582,000. So that's kind of how we ended through June 30th there, with slightly under budget, 355,000. Pie chart here, this is just obviously a pictorial of what we just talked about. I looked back at last year just to kind of see what was different, and these numbers pretty much shake out even last year as well, with the exception of fuel and purchase power. Fuel last year was at 31% and purchase power was at 8%, and basically this year we've been selling more or buying more from MLMP than normal, perhaps running Beluga a little bit less. That's the only real significant difference, I think, in this pie chart if you compared it to last year. But again, it's just a pictorial of the statement of op lines from the prior page on a pro rata or on a proportional basis. And the balance sheet here, looking at the assets and other debits here, I'm just going to point out a few areas I think of interest where we had some either of interest or either significant movement here. But I want to point out net utility plant, line 5. Basically, you can see 601,000 was the change there, which means over the first 6 months of the year, we're adding assets at about the same level. We're depreciating those assets. There's not much of a variance there at all. The other two items that are up here would be cash and marketable securities, about halfway, almost two-thirds the way down. You'll see that variance on the right-hand side of $10,224,000. We used a lot of that marketable securities. We pushed it to cash, and then we used it to pay off capital credits, so that's not unexpected at all. And then accounts receivable net is identified there, $5.5 million. That variance, that's just seasonal sales, basically, taking down 1231 winter sales into summer sales. Essentially, you're going to reduce your receivables there as well.
Director Henderson, do I hear you have a question?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Those are the significant items that I would asset side of the balance sheet. On the liability side, equity side here, I point your attention to Patriots Capital, line 2 there, the $4.4 million reduction in Patriots Capital. Again, that's coming, MEA capital credits being paid out this year. Down below, third line from the bottom is the other piece of the patronage capital that we are reflecting here on the balance sheet as well. You're seeing that reduction of $1,461,000. The difference there, a lot of that was Homer's patronage capital that had already been retired, but it hadn't been paid per se. So the difference is one comes from a payable and one comes from directly from patronage capital. And then the other two significant items, we'll see them on the statement of cash flow, would be bonds payable. Fifth line down, $51,583,000. We had paid off some debt, but we also took on that $75 million. So you're seeing the net change really in that $51 million there. And then commercial paper, we paid off all that commercial paper as well, the $53 million that you're seeing slightly below that. So those are kind of the big items in the balance sheet here. Again, I'll probably hit them on the statement of cash flow a little bit as well, but statement of cash flow, just looking at 630.19, taking the left-hand column and running down it, assignable margins, we start there, 668,000. We end up adding back net cash provided by operating activities. The large item there is depreciation and amortization. Under section two, cash flow from investing activities, we've got net cash used in investing activities, so where'd the cash go? You can see there, the big one there is extension and replacement of plant, $19 million went out the door for plant. And then the third section comes back in, the cash flow from financing activities, or provided in financing activities, and we've got the $53 million on the short-term obligations, paying down the line of credit, but we borrowed $49.987 net there. Ultimately, those numbers are added, each of those sections are added. We use $3.8 million, reduce that from our beginning balance of the year, $7.4 million, and we have a $3.5 million balance at the end of the year. And I believe that is it. Any other questions?
Questions from the board?
You asked them all up front, I think.
All right, nicely done.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes our new business. On the agenda next is executive session. I will entertain a motion to get us an executive session.
Madam Chair, I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, the Audit and Finance Committee go into executive session to discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I will call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And with that, we're in an executive session. Can someone... All right, do I have a motion in regards to the 10-Q?
Madam Chair, I will move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend management file the Securities and Exchange Commission Form 10-Q by the due date, incorporating any amendments to the document, which will be reviewed and approved by KPMG. Mr. Ahers and Ms. Hires will immediately inform the board in writing of any material or significant changes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll call for the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That motion passes. And with that, I'll take director comments. We'll start with the committee. Director Chastain.
Very good meeting. Informative, and as usual, I know you guys are super duper busy, so thank you for your presentations when I know that you have lots of matters on your plates. So thank you and good work. Thanks.
Director Reeves?
All I will add is really glad and congratulations for a nice clean audit report as usual. Mm-hmm.
Director Hollis?
Yeah, I would second that, and also, thank Lee and his team for going the extra mile to keep us informed. I appreciate that, and I'd like to thank our chair for moving this meeting along very quickly tonight, very efficiently.
All right. Director Henderson?
It's always a pleasure to visit with KPMG. I've worked with them almost 40 years, and they've always been a joy. I do appreciate it. We're an hour and 30 minutes early ahead of our schedule, so I should hope that that we continue to maintain some level of expeditiousness along with being cognizant of everybody's concerns. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Director Crawford.
This meeting, every time, I always feel like I'm sitting on the edge of the seat straining to keep up. There's a whole lot of information in a short period of time, so and this meeting was even shorter. So anyway, thanks for what you do. I'm glad that there are people that are watching this like hawks.
Sherry, anything to add? Lee?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Just want to thank my team while I have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to take credit for this short meeting, but I think truly it is the work of the crew, of the team, and of the management to really provide us what we need, have such great audit reports. I agree with Director Crawford. I am sometimes hanging on by my toes on the content here. So totally appreciate the work of the team, the confidence that we have. Know that there's a lot more coming ahead. So I'm happy to take a motion to adjourn and get us out of here.
So moved.
All right, second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Let's go.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.